cloud.
Even our secretary and treasurer does not have, but it makes sense in this case.
All right, thank you. Items proposed for action to council meeting. The first one is straightforward. It's an IRS increase in mileage reimbursement rates to 62.5 cents per mile as of July 1st.
I mentioned to Pat that I thought that whatever the IRS says it should be at whatever period of time it should be, we should just have a resolution that adopts whatever's effective time rather than. This is the one time
because it's in our rate schedule, which we adopted.
But if you adopt the approval of whatever the IRS says operation for a period of time, then it's a goal approval of the right back. But
we like I said, okay, it's not need to be in our rate schedule.
I think the rate schedule may require their specificity and not just referencing the document.
Next on the agenda is the review and possible award of the 2022 program. As we all sort of feared, the bids that were received did come in above the estimate that CES had made. Again, the lowest bid, as they were last year, and I think they did a good job, so I don't think they're any, personally, I don't have any concerns about them doing some work. Their total bid is $253,326.90, which is about $50,000 more than CES had estimated for this work. And so, more to be discussed, I think, certainly with Pat, especially finance. But these are the roads that were identified by CKS in their study as not just needing repair, but being high priority for repair. So, personally, I don't think we should remove anything from the program, but certainly happy to hear other thoughts.
We have to adjust the judging property owners' cost for curb repair.
Actually, interestingly, the only one that I noticed went down. And the work on North Congress that was bid as part of the township program actually was slightly less than what we had anticipated. So that's good as
well. Now, hold those assessments.
Well, it's always an estimate, so the work is done. They're adjusted for
they give us a time for points.
Well, we have to approve first and yes.
Yeah,
we have the bids. Yeah, these are
these
are the bids. So the lowest was, as I said, $253,326. The highest was $300,020. So any concerns or discussion about roads, or whether you think that we should look at removing something from the program position?
I agree with you that we've already distinguished what is absolutely necessary.
They're high priority.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it's necessary if we chose not to. But they definitely really need to be done.
Yeah.
Right.
So for maintenance, but at a higher cost.
Yeah, probably. And I also think, like, Bobcat's already torn up. So
yeah.
How much you can do about that?
Yeah.
And you have no idea what to expect next year either.
Right. And then you come to a point where you have to mill and overlay and overlay, like, regardless. So, but, our, you know, for our residents, you know,
any thoughts or comments?
In the last 4 years, before us, street improvement program has enhanced the community considerably. And our roads in the borough are a great widget compared to all the municipalities.
Okay, thank you. John,
sure.
Thank you.
Should I just go over the titles to see if anyone has questions, or do you just have to be reading through these on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just special event requests. The Tuesday meetings, we have the 9/11 remembrance, first responders appreciation, sponsored by John Burke, myself. I am working with the Rotary for the insurance coverage, so I'll have their name on that as well. The annual black and white dinner, sponsored by Newtown Theater. So that'll be the first responders Friday, September 9th. The annual black and white dinner will be the Newtown Theater sponsor on Saturday, September 10th. And then Newtown Rotary Family Fundraiser, sponsored on Newtown Rotary Sunday, September 18th. I don't know if there's any questions on
it. Is that the street fair that started last year?
Yes. I guess the chief, I don't know.
I've been in contact with them, but yeah, everything's going to be the same as last year.
Then, as far as special event announcements, a reminder, Movies in the Park, sponsored by the Recreation Board, 7:30 to 10:30, July 13th. It'll be Matilda. Don't wait to see that one. At Memorial Park. And then Music on the Street, actually, that has been back and started up. It will start July 12th. 30th of August, and that will be right out on 16 South State Street, 6 to 8 on Tuesdays.
All right, thank you.
Resolve the issue of repairs and improvements of the cabinets?
Yes.
Okay.
First, I have
this here. Okay, for the month of June, the department handled a total of 177 calls. Of those, we had 30 traffic citations. The most frequent citation issued was for speeding violations. We had two accidents. One resulted in a 41-year-old in-town female being arrested for drunk driving after she struck a parked car on State Street. We had a number of fraud investigations. We had five of them total. Four of them, there was no pecuniary loss. Basically, the individuals on the was a fraud scheme, and they stopped it prior to anything happening. The one alarming one that did go through a resident, an older resident, received a call from a person reporting to be their grandson saying, "I've been in an accident. I need money. Here's my attorney, or here's the attorney of the other party involved." The woman actually was talked into taking a large sum of money out of the bank, and then the individual came to the house and picked up the money. Fully masked, and of course, it was like, "I'm fully masked because with COVID and everything else, but full face mask." We have some video from some of the neighbors, ring cams and everything else, but it's not good. But we do warn people all the time not to fall for some of these schemes. Most of the time, people are savvy enough that they don't. But on this particular occasion, the scary part is that somebody actually showed up. It's one thing to wire somebody some money, but somebody's knocking on your door. Bad guy's knocking on your door and taking thousands of dollars. Yeah, that was scary. And of course, her family was very concerned. And a lot of times, the elderly, they're afraid to even tell their family these things because they'll say, "I can't really stay by yourself anymore." So sometimes these things even go unreported. Fortunately, this time it was reported, it was a scary situation. A couple of public drunkenness complaints running into the same individual. Now we went to court with the individual and he's found guilty on all the charges. He's up to $5,000 in fines, but still won't get any help. We've been willing to say we've got all the fines, just go and put yourself in someplace. We'll continue to be seeing him. We've been a little bit on board with the Linton Hope Park. There are two separate occasions where used packets of heroin was found on the grounds there. So we're sort of keeping an eye out for that to see who's responsible for any of that. This one theft investigation that we had was at the Wine and Spirits store. Woman left her car unlocked in the parking lot. Somebody stole prescription drugs. That was the gist of the June
Just signed a check for replacing the safety sensors. Is that done?
Is the, they're on their place. You mean the...
Where are they? Yes, those post-its.
Yeah, there's one like almost every store. most of them are in Washington.
Most are in Washington.
Yeah, okay. But they're in place.
Everything else, okay.
Any other questions for
you?
It's been a busy month. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Okay. Business reports, single track car. We talked about this and probably in a discussion close to a year ago. Some of you may remember that we had a public meeting where people gave input. They also had a contact us program, if you will, for our website. And results were mixed. The majority, but a slight majority of people were in favor of a single track car. But there were a substantial number of remarks, and there were a lot of concerns that were expressed or requests for us to consider if we go this direction. Obviously, cost. We don't know yet what the cost would be, and everyone was very concerned that it would be more expensive. People talked about the can size, that they wanted to be able to have only once a week instead of twice. They wanted to be able to share service. They wanted third ways to pick up, they wanted bulk bag pick up. They wanted to make sure that they're really recycling and not just taking it to the trash. Several people said that they got $2 as opposed to one, made more sense. It's the only one you have the leverage. Certainly, there were discussions around if we do this, we need to have a fixed contract. There needs to be performance guarantees in there. We need to have a annual review, those kinds of things, which obviously we have. And people really did not want this to be part of their taxes. Again, it's part of the taxes, then everyone pays the same, and it doesn't matter how much service you get from them. So those were the big concerns that were expressed. Some people just said, you know, I switched and it's cheaper and I will stay with it. I want to get the cheap time. So we had drafted a revised ordinance, which some of us thought was a little bit too complicated. And before we spent a lot of time looking at that and trying to make it simpler, a little more straightforward, I realized that we really hadn't talked about this at all with this council. So my question for y'all is what your thoughts are. Personally, I believe that until we get data, it's all emotional, right? Maybe no one can do this. Maybe not one more can do it. Maybe it'll be cheaper, maybe it won't. So if it's not, then probably not. This has been a recommendation from our environmental advisory council for 4 years now. So I think we owe it to them to at least fix something.
I agree about the data, and I feel very strongly that people have to have the option to choose. The ones who rebels me. I think that we have to make sure that people don't want, they don't have to do it. So they want to continue to share how that be. But that, so I do think that the data would be important to be able to make a decision. And if the data is good, I think that we'll be able to convince some of the people who are weary of it right now. I agree we shouldn't be forcing anybody to do anything they don't want to do. But I think if you have the right data, they may jump to our ship. Also, my main concern, most companies say aren't recycling.
Yes.
So that one, they say you are, you pay for it. But they take it to the trash company. Yeah. China's not buying our sites.
Yeah.
So that's my main thing. And so like any business that come in, we need to make sure that they are actually doing what they say they're going to.
Absolutely. All right. I had a conversation with someone about this topic a month or two ago, and noted that he had some awareness or experience in towns where it was provided by the town and optional. So my question was, well, why would they do that? Because wouldn't they need a certain number of people? But you get enough people who say, yeah, I want to come on board, it will be guaranteed cheaper. I don't, I want to stay with one the town has a contract with. But if you don't want to, you can choose your own. You have the option to opt out and do something different. And I think that might, if we're able to do that, it might alleviate.
actually means that we're not achieving what the EAC is trying to do, which is less traffic and less pollution.
Right. So unless you only had like one other option.
If, if we get 65%, at least from a number, if we get 65% of the people in the borough on a single trash hauler, we will be reducing some pollution, some noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, in my opinion, it's not all or nothing. Like, even a little bit will help the environment. It'll reduce a little bit.
And the other thing that we didn't talk about at all, but what you're saying reminded me, because that's not necessarily true if we still have five people coming to the borough. I wouldn't think it would be economically feasible for someone to come here just for a couple of cans, but we could also consider limiting the number as opposed to letting whoever registers, which is essentially what we're doing. So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I also think that if you have the option and out that they can get a second or third provider, that fear of being trapped and locked into a contract and not, you know, I went to a single trash, I don't like the service, now I can't do anything about it. At least they have that, and I think that would win more people over that. Okay, I'm okay with this. And I think most people agree it's a great concept. Right now, I mean, I don't know what we do enforcing the ordinances, regulations that we have, but I have 15 different trucks. Every day, it's going past my house. So I don't know what's going on. It could be because I'm on the township border, but it's too many trucks. But
they
I do think
they go both like this way.
They back up, they eat, they constantly put down the whole street back up,
yep.
You know,
yep.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. So I do think though that we need to do all of our homework and provide the information so that the public can then say, okay, I'm good with this. And I do think you will get that 60% involvement. And that's probably what you need at first to start.
And if we have the data, we agree with what to do with it, we have 60% push year. We might have 75% second year and maybe the third year actually, or not. Or we might go down to 50, but if we can provide the proper data.
Yeah. Yeah. If we get a good number of people on board at the start, and then we maybe talk about limiting what other carriers can come to town, I think that would be a good start.
Yeah, right now, one of the issues, to your point, is they don't just come on to say the price when they're supposed to. And the other issue is when there's, you know, garbage on the street or there's oil leaking on the street, whatever, who did it, right? We don't know.
One of the events that Collins is they had a secret hauler terminate the contract that will that risk has to be factored in to agree. If you, that's one. Secondly, if you're limiting the number of customers, the hauler may not come here, considering the lack of drivers, basically. Ability to serve 10 houses compared to the 100 that they had before. So while you may think you could get alternative service, I think if you push that number higher, some of the haulers won't come because it's just cost prohibitive and $6 diesel fuel. Yeah. Just may not happen. They may walk away, leaving us with only one.
Lots of things happen,
right? Yeah. Yeah, we really don't know. We really don't know at this point.
But I'm definitely all for getting the data moving forward.
Okay, thanks. Right. Any other questions?
What's the data are you requesting?
But we can't get data yet because we have to revise our ordinance to allow students to do this. So that's step number one, and then we'll go out for request for proposals.
I think this is maybe the opportunity to get people onto the email webpage. We only have 100 people out of 1,000 people that live here. So our ability to reach people is limited to the internet. When you go out to reach people, how do you do it? Letters, you send a letter. So this may be an opportunity to reach out to those people and get them online. So in the case of the emergency, like I saw the police report, we have guests in some place. We have an accident, we got a close, or we have a fire over at Kentucky last week. There's reasons we need to get to the community. So this may be an opportunity to address that issue as well as gathering information. So let's think bigger on method of communication to utilize. This may be an option to do, even if we don't go to school. However, the results can turn out, having access to people.
Okay. Any other comments from the
question for you. I know we went through this last year. My all south for 148 North Elm Avenue, Newtown, PA, 1894. I know we had the Zoom meetings. We, a lot of people think it's a great idea, but I think the devil's in the details to that point. So that, until you know, now you're saying that you can't get the details until you pass an ordinance, but I don't know why you can't reach out to these different contractors and talk to them before you have a framework of what you're looking to do and say, would you be interested? Here's the other side. You say to them, here's what we're looking to do. Some of them may say, we don't want any parts. And you know, you've got, I think, two of them only do once a week now. I think it's Waste Management and Whitetail. And then McCulloch and I think it's Republic or twice a week. So, you know, that's the other thing. You know, we need twice a week in my house. A lot of people only need once a week.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that kind of thing that, you know, and I know a lot of people say, well, how much is it going to cost me? And then how can you have an ordinance that says, here's who we are approved trash haulers, but you can pick anybody you want? Well, then it doesn't seem like it's an ordinance.
Well, the ordinance could be like that and just allow people to pick what they want.
But what you're saying is, if you pick a hauler and I don't like that hauler, I can choose my own.
There was a suggestion that just me, so the ordinance would have to reflect that.
Right. So basically, it's not an ordinance. In other words, you've got an ordinance that says you want you to use this hauler, but if you don't like that hauler, you can choose whatever you want.
So it's not an ordinance enforcing that you must use this, but the trash hauler ordinance that has all the details and everything about what the trash haulers have to do would include that council has the option to have a borough-wide hauler, and the council could also have the option to say that if members of the public choose not to join up, they have the right to.
So basically, my trash my choice.
So.
Well, my trash my choice.
But it's say that the idea that you're hearing is
our anti-marketing campaign.
that perhaps we can cut down some of the trucks.
I understand the whole idea behind that, but unfortunately, if they only have five people on the street, you still got seven trucks. It still has to go over the same territory. So unless you eliminate the number of trucks, it's not going to do away with that. To the mayor's point, I think, how do you enforce it? What are we doing to enforce the laws we have now? To, you know, I have no problem. They come on my street in the morning. They're off the street. Within a half an hour, they're all through. That's it. So for 20 minutes, twice a week, I have a little bit of noise. I can live with that. I don't have a problem. I understand other people, it's a constant back and forth. So what can we do maybe to talk to these haulers to say, hey, you know, you got to run. Because I know people say, for instance, we just had a holiday. My guy came Tuesday. That's his our scheduled day, he was there for Tuesday. Other people didn't put their cans out thinking, oh, well, it's Tuesday. Well, why didn't you put them out? And they came Wednesday to pick up the guys. I mean, oh, well, sorry, you missed your turn. They're going to get you on Friday now. That, I think this is where we have to talk to the mayor's point, the haulers, and enforce what we have now. That would help a lot, too.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, we have tried and we've been very successful. There's one hauler in particular who routinely comes on days they're not supposed to and has other issues and they've been contacted. It's a good point, Paul. But
so if we have fines in place that we can enforce, can we do that?
We don't have fines.
But can we?
And what we can do is remove their fines so they can't then operate the road.
That's the answer.
Okay.
No, it's just not.
whole different issue.
Oh, I know.
Any other comments?
So, it's not you can pick anybody. You can pick anybody among the list of people who have been approved by the press, right? So, you can't just go pick, you know, Susan's trash, something that's on the list of been approved, right? I'm confirming for myself.
Julia. Okay, so as you all know, I did a lot of work on this last year. And so, what I'm understanding from Sue is the potential to put out a professional proposal saying that the city ordinance is put in such a way that the top or the best three proposals will be accepted and the residents can choose among them. Okay? Is that kind of what you're saying? Like, as a choice? Like, if you're going to offer multiple haulers, you can restrict it to a certain number. You're going to want to restrict it to the best proposal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But, okay.
Well, all right, but whatever multiple, I would say two. The issue becomes we're really not a very big borough. And having talked to a particular caller, I got a lot of information from him. He was saying, well, you know, the caller is going to want to know, I'm going to have a guaranteed number of customers in order to make that proposal. If you say, okay. Well, there are 200 households in Newtown, let's say, 200 households, and so whatever proposal you put together is going to assume that you have 200 households to serve. Not, well, you might get 30, or you might get 50, or you might get 195. Like, you don't really know. And I think that may actually impact the kind of proposals that you get. People are likely to want to engage in that activity. So I've been a proponent of single hauler for quite a while. So I have that bias right away. But I do understand people's concerns. And I do understand all the other little nitty-gritty things like how to get filled and how to share and all those nonsense that make it very complicated. But it seems to me that maybe knowing our trash hauler ordinance needs a lot of work. Any case, if it includes the option for the borough to go to limit the number of haulers and or have a single hauler, you know, have it as an option in the ordinance, we would be different. Right.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to give you an update on but we're not going to vote on it. We've got work to do. I just wanted to make sure that everyone agreed that we should proceed.
Since we don't have notes, I just want to make sure that the record
it is not. Thank you. So I'm going to give you an update on the Keystone grant application. It was a historic preservation grant to help the Budapest Museum for all, and unfortunately did not receive that grant.
Hey, Sue.
Yes.
I just realized we never put the microphone on the table.
Oh.
So maybe we should
do that. Yeah. Well, because
it catches back there. It's just going to be a little more muffled, whereas this will be a lot better. I'm glad you noticed.
Well, I have picked some notes. So maybe I can thank you, really. Thanks, Emily.
Emily's a good note taker, too. She's taking notes over here, right?
Well, I mean,
here she's jotting things down.
So the next one is the Transportation and Community Development Incentive Grant. And we were awarded that one, $65,000, which is fabulous. It was for a multimodal transportation study, looking at safety for pedestrians and bicyclists. So that's really exciting. And the only caveat is that having received the notification that we got the grant, I then received a notification that the funding has not come through yet, and so we can't spend any money. And they'll let us know when we get. But
we have. Nice.
Yeah. That's great.
Who wrote the proposal for us?
RBE.
And do they get paid out of that proposal?
Yes. And this is one of the grants that had no match.
Okay.
So that's even better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
All right. And my last piece of information is literally like 2 hours old. Our building inspector and code enforcement officer has resigned. And right now, our meeting has no one that they have to offer us. And so we need to figure out what we're going
to
do.
I'd like to revisit our open space plan.
Tracy,
correct.
I already contacted her. She won't. She's taken another job, unfortunately. With a township somewhere. Yeah. I had contacted her before just because. So no.
Yeah. Because I know she was full up after she first said yes to
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
And she got another name on her dance card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone from
Thank
CPS?
You.
Not sure if they do that.
I literally got this phone call as I was coming here. So yeah, I had a chance to talk to Michelle. She will be here at next week's meeting and she's on vacation this week. I will certainly contact her. But yeah, just
what is the immediate impact on art and zoning? Does this put everybody in a suspense period or
We have to follow the deadline
yes.
for the law.
So my understanding is Frank will be here on Friday, as usual. Then he's using a vacation, and essentially is gone at that point. But his boss has assured me that they will try to do what they can to support us, and that Frank will try to do what he can to support us. He's taking a job with a different company.
Mm.
And I do have someone, potentially, who just got out of the hospital and is going to be restricted for at least 2 weeks. So there may be someone in the future who can help us, but not short term.
There's also Keystone, who we had before.
Yes.
And they provide these services.
In short term, the most immediate need is going to be just getting out the COAs that we go to.
Correct.
Week.
Correct.
And
okay.
Everything else.
I don't want to interrupt or attorney's hours to Port Bridge Street.
Yeah.
So I'm actually building a project down in Bristol Borough, and Bristol Borough outsourced to BIU. That might be something you may want to give those guys a call, and they can probably help you with an immediate need.
Okay.
So
thank
BIU
you.
Or BIA?
BIU.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know who BIU is.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like we had Keystone before. We had BIA.
I can get you the contact information. Just email it to you.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Really appreciate it.
And so I'm assuming since you made this public, I can get in touch with people that need to know from HARM. And
yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. On that note, Mary Ellen, personnel.
Okay, so we have vacancies on the following committees: one on the Historical Architectural Review Board, one on the Human Relations Commission, one on the Joint Historic Commission and Reporting Secretary, one on the Recreation Board, and one on the Parking and Sign Ad Hoc Committee, and newly added is one for the EAC. That's all on the agenda.
Question for you, Mary Ellen. Historic Architectural Review Board. Do they have to be a resident or can they just be a property owner?
Supposed to be a resident, as I recall the ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know somebody who wants to serve, but he's a property owner, but he's not a resident.
99% sure it says resident, I'll check.
Okay.
And just to piggyback on Mary Ellen, we did receive an application for someone interested in the Joint Historic Commission, but she dropped off physical
okay.
in the office, so none of us have seen it yet. Since Judy's on vacation. So there's that.
I'm sure it'll be on our, we'll see before the meeting on next week. Because Judy will be back Monday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do have the application for the HRC as well, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I did speak with one of the property owners on State Street. Do we have to have a resident on the parking and signs ad hoc committee?
No, because it's ad hoc.
So. Yeah.
That
okay.
can be a property owner.
Yeah.
The
okay.
issue is the ones that have like the decision making back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you.
Streets, lights, no problem. Crosswalk painting. At our last work session, we talked about which crosswalks we should paint, and had asked the Walk Friendly Town Committee to give us the ones that they valued painted. Afterwards, there was some discussion about whether we should paint them all. Personally, I don't think that anyone disagrees that the ones that need to be painted need to be painted. But I do have an issue with just blanket saying everyone has to be painted every year. Don made the comment that some of them look like they were just painted. And so to me, it's just like they're responsible to repaint them if they look like they were just done. But I know some people are concerned about not doing them all every year. So it was kind of best to put this on the agenda.
So for about the last 15 years, other than 2020, we've painted them all every year as a matter of routine maintenance. And the ones that, you know, if you had one that was just done in the road program and it was done later in the year, in the fall, that one may not be done. But, you know, to your point, the ones that were not worn because they were still fairly new, they'd only been through one winter. So usually we do it right after the street cleaning. So school is out and the streets are clean, and it makes it easier if they adhere better because you don't have to then clean them so much because it's already been done. So that's been what we've usually done. So what if council is going to decide to do it differently, right? Which is fine, just because you've done something for 15 years or so doesn't mean that therefore you keep doing it. But I want council to consider it, to weigh it, to think about it, and not just kind of walk into it. So when it's repainted every year, you get the reflective glass granules. Those wear over time. And those aid in, you know, for drivers, if the light's bouncing off of them, they, you know, they make the sidewalk, the crosswalk somewhat reflective. So that gets worn out. If you wait too long, then you have to resentle them, then that costs more. So right now we have some, and then we add others, we go back, we put those in, and if so, you know, that will end up, we'll have a cost just because of the labor going around from here to there and there to there. So it is nice if you can have them all done together, then you, in my mind, you're doing that proper maintenance, unless it's something that was just done in the previous road program and it's, you know, newer and in good shape. So This is my perspective on it. And if there was a financial situation where we said we're broke, we don't have the money, we really can't do it, we should really think about it, we're really stuck here, this is a problem, then we look at it from a fiscal directive. So what I'm asking you to look at is a philosophical directive and what direction, why would we change that? As Sue pointed out her perspective on that. And do we want to continue doing every year? Or do we look at them each year? And my next thought is, I do think they should be done for a safety reason every year to keep them fresh, and that Newtown can have that and Newtown deserves that. But if we did them every, not every year, we examine them every year, it's a big burden to put on the traffic committee and say, this is something you need to do, which means, and their enthusiastic volunteers were very lucky, but that would have to go into the, you know, their job description. They have to know this is something they do. They need to go out every April. It would have to be done in time, so we weren't pushing things too back and waiting too long. If you wait too long, the paint doesn't adhere properly. And then they would also need to have some type of measurement. So otherwise what should happen is some very enthusiastic, you know, caring volunteers who are eyeballing things saying, this is what we think, but they weren't given any like measurement other than, you know, what their non-professional eyes think that it looks okay. So we should have some kind of description, and it should be like organized into a policy if that's what we decide to do. So those are my two points. One is I do think we should do them unless they're newly done, and you're not stuck having to have things get really worn out by 2 years later, because then you're skipping a whole year.
As someone on the mm-hmm. safety committee, I want to say that I think, you know, as part of our, you know, we're trying to become part of the larger Walk Friendly mm-hmm. nonprofit, as part of our, what I would call maybe annual duties, and we have nothing in writing because we're technically an ad hoc.
Right,
so
right.
We have no description of our mm-hmm. duties or yep. anything like that. Looking at things like crosswalks and
signs that are impeded by shrubbery, trees, whatever, that's going to be part of something we probably will decide to take on annually. And we haven't had this specific discussion yet, but I can already tell you everyone would be like, yes, let's do it. And even though we aren't professionals, we could be the bubble that says, hey, these are the 10 crosswalks in town that look bad. Send the professional look at them. They don't need to waste their time, we think, on the other 20. So my whole thing is I'd rather not spend the money if we didn't need to. And like in the instance of my intersection, you paint that crosswalk, it's going to be torn up sometime in, you know, the near future, and they're going to have to repaint it anyway. So I don't think there should just be a blanket, yes, we do everything.
So then the traffic committee would keep track of what was done, what wasn't, so you didn't skip something for 2 years, for example.
Let me give you the detail,
because I was responsible for this last year and the year before. 2 years ago, we decided not to do it because we didn't know whether we had the money. With COVID hitting and people not coming into town, we saved the money, about $35,000, okay? Last year, we decided to instruct the vendor, go out and tell us what really needs to be done and what need not be done or priority-wise, because we just had two road programs that fixed a bunch of crosswalks. And then we decided where we weren't going to put crosswalks. So we made some detailed decisions. Then I went looking at the invoices, and I found that the vendor did not report to us what the vendor had painted.
Right, but Bob, we're talking about a philosophical decision.
No, I'm getting down to detail here, because when I got that bill last year, there was no detail, and I was asked to approve it, and I said, tell me what you painted. And then he told me, well, he didn't paint everything. And to this day, I've never seen a report of what was not painted last year. So I can't tell you whether they were all painted, but I do know they were not all painted last year. And there's never been an explanation from the vendor why not.
So it is
very important that we monitor that vendor before we spend $35,000 on an annual basis.
So monitoring the vendor is one thing, but assessing the condition of the sidewalks is the third sidewalks. I keep saying that. Crosswalks is another. And one of the things I learned, because I was also responsible for this, is obvious but never occurred to me. You shouldn't assess the condition of them during the daytime. You should assess the condition of them at night, which makes perfect sense, right? So little learned, but okay. Any other thoughts on whether or not we should
just process wise, I would think if Walk Friendly was going to take on the responsibility of cataloging them, for lack of a better term, every year, as an ad hoc committee, we probably could not be in charge of bidding and hiring a vendor and paying them, correct?
No.
That would have to then move on to streets like this project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
how I see it.
We did an inventory of the crosswalks last year, individually, Susan and I, as well as the traffic, signs dealing with traffic, okay? Because we didn't have any base information from which to monitor what was being done and not done. So we started with the detail. So some of the work has been done.
So I think whether it was painted last year or not is important, but not really the determining factor, because some roads have a lot more traffic than others. So it may have been done last year and needs to be done. It may not have been and still not. So, whatever. Okay.
Before we move on, I just have another question. And Mike, this is really more for you. But if we skip crosswalks here and there and they've lost their reflectivity and we're not maintaining them, does that open us up to a liability? Or is that something that we could say, well, it's our policy that we don't do them every year, so therefore we're not liable?
So it's a good question, and it's not an easy question to answer. If you are ignoring a known identified hazard, then that's one of the examples where our tort immunity can somewhat be stripped away. But if you're not really required to repaint and restripe everything every year, and it would be a little bit of a heavy lift for somebody to say they're not as reflective as they had been, that's what caused this motor vehicle accident. So the short answer is yes, there is a scenario where you could be liable, but it's highly unlikely.
And again, I don't think anyone's suggesting that we're going to just not maintain them and
we're going to accept the fact that they're not up to par. That term is not what I'm suggesting.
To the contrary, we want to make sure that every crosswalk is safe for visibility. We've already had a person killed on Sycamore Street, which is not our street, but he was killed in the crosswalk, correct?
A non-painted crosswalk.
A non-painted.
That could be liable, right?
It's not our crosswalk.
Okay, we're off topic. And the other thing is,
to the contrary, we want to make sure it's safe.
Yes, and this grant that we just got would help us in assessing this as well. Let's not forget, it's a multimodal transportation study.
The other detail was that not all the crosswalks are painted with the same paint, and therefore some have this glass substance, some does not. So we also need to know which of the crosswalks have that information.
Too much detail. Okay. Next is painting a borough hall. Obviously, we didn't get the grant. That's what we're waiting for. I'm trying to get the quotations that we got last year updated because I'm sure the prices have gone up. But if you look at the building, you know that we desperately need to get. So that's now that the grant rejection label, whatever, has been received.
What's the principal uses of the grant?
It was for a multimodal transportation study for pedestrians and bicycles. Patriots Park update. Julia, would you mind getting that?
Sure. So DCNR finally gave us a go ahead to put the project out to bid. It's going to be advertised starting next week. And we're using the PENDID process, which is the same that Borough uses for its road program. So it's all done electronically online, and it looks like it's going to be very 21st century. and the information will be available online next week. And the bid opening is scheduled for August 25th. So our fingers are crossed that we come in under our estimated budget. The second item on that is that one of the activities that needs to occur in Patriots Park that is separate from the grant project, and that is installing the water service. This has been carried forward on our budget for several years. I did obtain a proposal from Shanahan and Luff, who did the installation of the water on Green Street when we were doing the common. And this is a proposal for a yard hydrant, which is basically a pipe that comes out of the ground and has a thingy at the top where you open and close and water comes out. So very simple. I received a proposal last week, which I forwarded on to Sue, and I think it's forwarded on to the committee for Budget Finance Committee, I believe, but to consideration. Their proposal is for $5,780 to install that. They have to put a new meter pit in. The existing piping that was there from the previous owner is lead, so therefore has to be replaced. So they have to, and the meter pit was old and therefore is no longer up to code, and a new meter pit has to be put in. So it's a meter pit and piping and the water. And I understand from from John Shanahan that there's about a 3 to 4 week lead time to get the equipment in through his distributor. And his recommendation is that this work get done before any park work gets done. So I don't know, somebody to talk about whether this should be on next week's agenda.
So I was just going to ask Mike, given the amount of this and in what it is, does this need to be approved by council or is this considered maintenance? Do we need to vote on it?
You need to vote on it. Okay. Yes.
What's the purpose of the water hydrant?
Have water in the park. Not for drinking. This is for irrigation.
For plants.
Oh, for water plants. Okay.
In the exchange on budget and finance, I suggested that we install an irrigation system so it would be self-watering throughout the flowers and bushes and all that sort of stuff. Because we're running out of volunteers. Just look at the fire department. So I suggest that we perhaps look at something which could cost us more, but would guarantee that we would have watering of the vegetation areas instead of just trying to figure out who's going to come out at whatever day it is and water the plants to keep them alive during the heat, especially during the summer.
Well, the selection of the plants, landscape architect is proposing it's part of going to be low maintenance garden, considering the water needs are. And secondly, it's borough park, and therefore maintenance of borough park is the borough. It is for whoever the borough hires to do maintenance of the park. An irrigation system would not be part of this grant project, so we'll look at that in the future. Then that's up to the council certainly.
The person who gave you the estimate for the hydrants, yeah. For the nozzle system, could he give us an estimate of what it would cost?
I doubt it. They don't do that. There are other companies that do that sort of thing. But so all the plantings, there's nothing to water yet. The park hasn't been developed yet. We won't have planting beds, know where they are, what watering needs or anything until the project. So.
What's your time estimate?
For the project?
For the installation of the flower beds.
For the flower beds?
For the vegetation.
All right,
beds.
So this is assuming that we get people who bid and that they can get the work scheduled on their schedule. If not this fall, potentially next spring. Okay, and part of the process is that it plans that the contractor is going to be doing all the heavy work, putting in pads. Beds, putting the installing the furniture, et cetera, and ordering plants that then volunteers will be planting after that. So, if not later this fall, which is my hope, then we're talking spring. And if you want to consider putting in a irrigation system at some point, once the thing is all put together and in, that's council's decision. That wasn't the plan.
But we have
the park was not for that.
But we have time for that.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, we have time.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be done before the park goes in because.
And the planting will also go out to bid, also. So
planting is a part of the bid. So physical planting of the perennial beds is a volunteer activity. The purchase of the plants that go in are part of the bid that's going to be advertised next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Do you have any announcements?
Just as a follow-up, I met with Ron last week, and we are following up on the tree trimming for the public right-of-ways to make the signs more visible. So that's underway. And I met with a State Street property owner this morning because we had a tree issue, and we identified the tree by the tree tab that's been placed on a tree during our tree survey. So that's the story on what's happening with trees in the borough this week.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Public speaker.
Yes, real quick, Sue. Newtown Rotary Club is in the middle of supporting creating refugees in Council Rock School District. I'm not sure how many people realize it, but we do have Ukrainian refugee children attending our schools. Their last count, there were 25 of them, plus younger siblings and their parents. Fathers are still in Ukraine. And we've been raising money, giving them gift cards so they can go out and purchase things. Most of them came here with nothing but clothes on the back. So right now, we've teamed up with Countryside Gallery and an art program at Council Rock. Students painted a sunflower, a vase with sunflowers in it. It's for sale, and they also have prints of it for $15. All the money raised will go to support these children, and that way in the fall, when they come back, we'll be able to get money for school supplies and everything they need. So if people would like to get involved, you can stop and drop off a gift card to either Target, Walmart, or a Visa gift card at the Countryside Gallery or Newtown Hardgrounds. You're both collecting or by post, all that money goes in.
and we'll be doing this for a few more weeks. So I just want to make everybody aware. A lot of people didn't realize that we do have refugees here.
Where are they staying? Family homes?
They have families here that they're staying with.
Uh-huh.
And that put a burden on those families. You know, they may have big homes, but when you come in with a family of eight, one in particular, eight people walked from Ukraine to Romania and flew here. So they had nothing.
Wow.
A couple of the families have been relocated now, and they found more permanent housing. And a couple of people have gotten jobs here. One of the mothers says, I have to work. It's not right. So, I mean, they're great people, and we're going to be doing picnics for them at one of the local churches that has offered their property across the community in a couple of weeks. But we just want to make them feel welcome.
Sure.
Because, like the one little girl, Father's Day came, they were doing cards. They said, we don't want her to participate, but she said, and said, because her dad's in Ukraine, we don't want her to be sad. Because the fathers are not allowed to leave.
Right.
They're back away. So this is, like I said, people aren't aware of it. And it's what we're trying to do is get that out. So, yes.
And Jeff's going to give us a nice article, right?
Thank you for doing that. That's really important.
Is that something we can put on scrolling announcements on the website?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll
Paul.
Make a note. Thank you so much.
Oh, and one quick note, we did hold our annual golf outing for Pickering. Bob, I know you couldn't make this year for another outing.
Yeah, I know.
But even without you, we still raised over $26,000.
Well, we would have been over $30,000.
That's right. So next year, we're going to be here.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that.
And actually, that's the most we've ever raised.
Yeah, it is a wonderful event, and the volunteers are amazing. It's simply that. But the shirts didn't fit.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks to Rotary for doing this. The Polish lawyers in Philadelphia are working with the staff and faculty of Catholic University of Lublin on immigration and refugee issues. So if you want to communicate to the Rotary Club, that we have people in Europe to help with immigration and refugee applications, we can help out.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. You're welcome.
Anyone else? Yeah. All right. I would like a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Meeting is adjourned at 6:30. Thank you.
Emily, did you figure out how to close this thing?
Sorry.
Close.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I'm not.